What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. 6:01 a.m., and you had better wake them up and get them up, get them going. It's B&E, 4 hours of fun and conversation and buck-ons and buck-offs. Begin right now here on the Show of the People. Should be a tremendous morning. 45 degrees in Austin, Texas, crisp and cool. Hitting about 68 degrees under bright, sunny skies in Austin, Texas. A buck on to the weather on this Thursday morning to get the show started. Appreciate you being there. Wherever you find us, we give you multiple ways to do so. Always can listen on 104.9 on the FM dial. Plenty of you do. Also on AM on 101.9 FM, AM 1260 on traditional radio. And if you want to find us digitally, that's always easy to do as well. We are streaming always on our Horn app, which you can take wherever you go on your smartphone. Also on your smart speaker at home or at the office. And always streaming Mr. Godbolt right now and all morning long, all day long, right here at hornfm.com.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state
there you
of
go,
Texas,
T.Y.
and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you do. As he said, going to be 70 degrees and sunny today as we get ready for a little bit cooler weather for some. For us, it's just our normal winter.
Just perfect.
Absolutely.
And a perfect day. I'm going to be headed out this afternoon or right after the show to Horseshoe Bay Resort. We're doing our every month golf course spotlight, our Callahan's General Store. Tour of Central Texas Golf will be highlighting Slick Rock Golf Course today, part of that beautiful Texas Triangle at the Horseshoe Bay Resort. We had UT Club, then we had Lions Muni, along with Morris Williams in the month of December. Now January, it'll be Slick Rock and Horseshoe Bay Resort. Excited to get out there, and beautiful day for it. Omar Urestia will go with us out there, our Horn Digital crew, to put a bunch of video together, have some fun, play a few holes, and should be a beautiful afternoon for whatever you're doing outside.
Yes, please enjoy it.
Yeah, man. It's going to be great. You know, that rain that came through yesterday morning was kind of slight, and then it was gone.
It was gone.
Pretty afternoon.
Yeah, it was gone. Didn't last very long.
Did not. Today should be absolutely perfect for whatever you're doing in the great outdoors on this Thursday morning. So buck on to that for sure, as we'll get you cranked up. Buck ons and buck offs this morning. Obviously, a couple days out now to the best weekend of the NFL season every year, in my opinion. That would be the divisional playoffs. You have 2 days of two great games each. Starting Saturday afternoon into Saturday evening, and then, of course, Sunday with the early kick. And then the Cowboys and 49ers playing about 5:30. You know, the Cowboys' start time is really about the start time of the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes.
So both teams are kind of angling for that. We'll dive into the divisional playoffs. Got some Cowboys news on the injury front, and they did sign a kicker to the practice squad yesterday.
Somebody did leave Mickey D's for a kicking job.
Yeah. They say just for precaution, but they did add a kicker to the I'm guessing that if you got to the practices this week and Brett Maher was shankopotamus, you might get concerned. But so far, they're still planning on the kicker to be the kicker.
Or if he's on the sideline crying, you got to bring in somebody else.
Yeah, they did sign a kicker to the practice squad. We'll get you his name coming up. They don't expect to take him to San Francisco this weekend. A lot to do, though. A lot of Texas football news. Let's get to the headlines. Trending topics to start your Thursday morning. Make sure you're caught up and fully in the know as you get up and out. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Start with Texas football. Yeah, an official word now from the program yesterday that the Longhorns have landed one of their top targets in the transfer portal to boost their defensive backfield. We told you about it last week, but Texas has officially added the former Arkansas defensive back and freshman All-American Jalen Catalan to the roster. Junior originally from Mansfield, Texas, will have 2 years of eligibility left, and he's already enrolled at Texas for the spring semester. Will participate in winter workouts in the spring. Another potential big-name transfer prospect entered the portal yesterday. Surprising news from Athens, where Georgia junior wide receiver A.D. Mitchell has put his name into the portal on yesterday, which was the final day to put your name in the portal. The 6'4", 190-pound outside receiver is originally from Missouri City, Texas. Been a big part of that Bulldogs run to back-to-back national championships. Several recruiting services have already linked him to the Longhorns, also USC, along with Texas early favorites for potential landing spots for A.D. Mitchell. We will keep you posted on that front. Also from Longhorn football land, we don't know when spring practices will start. We do know when they will end. According to Athletics Director Chris Del Conte on Twitter last night, the annual orange-white scrimmage game will be played Saturday, April 15th at DKR. Did not indicate a start time, just confirmed the date. Texas hoops now 0-2 this week for the Longhorns on the road in Big 12 play. Texas women followed up the Texas men's loss at Iowa State on Tuesday night with a tough, hard-fought 68-64 loss at Texas Tech last night in Lubbock. Texas cut the Tech lead down twice into the final quarter to 1 point, but the Red Raiders made their foul shots down the stretch to get the victory. Vic Schaefer's Longhorns fall to 4-2 in Big 12 play. Craig Way, we'll have much more on that game coming up in the Seaway Report at 8 at 6:40. Big 12 men's side upset last night in Morgantown. That's where West Virginia took down 14th-ranked TCU 74-65. It's the first Big 12 win for Bob Huggins' Mountaineers. TCU, meanwhile, has dropped three of their last four. Texas will be in Morgantown Saturday afternoon for a tilt with the Mountaineers. Also last night, Oklahoma State down to Oklahoma 72-56. NBA last night, Atlanta Hawks backcourt lit up the Mavericks in Dallas. DeJounte Murray and Trae Young combined for 50 points and 16 assists in a 130-122 win. Luka had 30 in the loss. Rockets have now lost 12 in a row down in Houston. Charlotte beat them 122-117 last night despite 41 from Jalen Green. NFL, it does appear the Cowboys will not have left tackle Jason Peters available for their divisional playoff game in San Francisco this Sunday. Veteran dealing with a hip issue, did not practice yesterday, not expected to practice today if he can't go. Cowboys will return rookie Tyler Smith to the left tackle spot. Connor McGovern will step in at left guard. Cowboys safety Jayron Kearse was also limited yesterday in practice because of a knee injury suffered in the second half on Monday night, but he assured all that he'll be good to go and will be playing against the 49ers on Sunday.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
So there you go. A lot to follow. A lot to get to. Yeah, Jayron Kearse wasn't, he was limited. He's kind of limping around, but he said, I will be on the field 100% playing against the Niners on Sunday.
That's he'll 100% on the field. Will he be 100% physically ready to play?
That's a fair question. And yeah, you know that the 49ers will challenge that. Part of that Monday night quick week turnaround conversation we had yesterday, Jayron Kearse, he is a big factor in that, you know, positionless defense that Dan Quinn likes to employ. And when you're trying to deal with the likes of Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, you need all hands on deck and all healthy hands on deck. Jayron Kearse is a big one. Had a pick of Tom Brady in the end zone on Monday night. And just that hybrid safety, but comes down in the box as a linebacker, covers, tackles. Really a good player for the Dallas Cowboys. They need him to be 100%.
Yes, they do. They really need, they need everybody.
They need them all. They need them all because this Niners team, as we've talked about, really, really good. 11 straight wins and a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. Great
and
coaching.
And a short week.
And a short week. So, but as we've said, the Rams followed the same path to the Super Bowl last year. From the 5 seed to a Monday night win on the road to a road tilt in the following weekend, a divisional round where they beat the Buccaneers, and then all the way to the championship. So it can be done, obviously, because last year was the first year that they began playing a Monday night football game as part of the wild card weekend. This is year number two. So here we go. And couple days out now to the great weekend of football, and we will preview those games coming up. Pretty big surprise. You know, we talked yesterday to, it's interesting, to Jerry Hamilton from Inside Texas. And while we were talking to him about the Longhorn basketball team and the junior weekend that's coming up for Longhorns and recruiting, their coaching search for a wide receivers coach and some other things, we kept getting texts from people about Georgia wide receiver A.D. Mitchell saying, mm-hmm. Hey, ask him about A.D. Mitchell. And I'm like, what? Where is that coming from? Next thing you know, get home, and there's the word from Athens that Donnie Mitchell is into the portal. And, you know, yesterday was the last day to put your name in the portal for the ahead of spring semester, apparently. And he got his name in the portal, apparently filed his paperwork, and I guess he wants to get out. I guess winning national championships isn't part of the deal. I don't know. You wears number 5. You've seen him. He's caught a touchdown pass in each of the games of the playoff the last. He's got touchdown passes in both semifinal games and both championship games on their way to these championships. And 6'4", 190 pounds, can win on the outside. Stetson Bennett, you know, said he's the best receiver he's ever played with. So this is a talented player, game changer, into the portal. And apparently the Longhorns are linked to him. He's got he's from Missouri City originally when he was in high school. Then his family moved to Nashville, where he finished up high school. Apparently he trains in Dallas in the off season, and maybe he has a young daughter living in Dallas that, I don't know. But we'll follow that. You know, at the portal, everybody's got a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got a reason. But we'll keep an eye on that. That has been linked already. Kind of like Jordan Addison last year. Remember when Jordan Addison won the Blitnikoff at Pittsburgh and all of a sudden he's in the portal? And USC and Texas are chasing him. He ends up at USC. This could be similar to that.
Oh, they've got to chase this one. This is a goodie right here. This kid's pretty good.
Really, really big-time player. Outside, big 6'4 player who's going to play on Sundays at some point in his career. So we'll follow that story. Jalen Catalon now officially a Longhorn. At least the program made it official. It had been reported last week. He actually confirmed it on his own Twitter account. But the Longhorns made it official yesterday. So we'll talk plenty of Texas football. They are looking for that position at wide receivers coach, and they are looking to fill a position as actually several. There's the special assistant to the head coach, which is expected to be an offensive coach for Steve Sarkisian, to join Gary Patterson in that role for the defensive side of the ball, a wide receivers coach, and a high school liaison that they're looking to fill as well. So
I just love to get a wide receivers coach here for winter workouts. I mean, that's where you really get to know the kids.
Yeah, and junior day. This weekend, yeah. As far as recruiting for the future, that's coming up. But as we've said, the reports are it's the Jacksonville Jaguars, current wide receivers coach Chris Jackson.
Yeah, if you want him, you wait it out. You don't have any choice.
Who they're chasing. And obviously Jacksonville rallied from 27-0 down to beat the Chargers on Saturday night. So he's still working. He's got a game on Saturday in Kansas City against the Chiefs. And you said it. You'd like to have him here, but if he's your choice, if he's the guy. And
you gotta wait it out.
You wait out until he's ready to be able to join you. So we'll follow all of those developing stories in and around the Texas Longhorns as we crank this thing up. Big 12 basketball, Buck. We'll hear more from Craig on the Texas women last night. But you know, we were talking just yesterday about the Big 12 and Texas has to win at Morgantown. I was watching last night. West Virginia hadn't won a Big 12 game. They're 0-5. Bob Huggins talked on Monday that it feels like they're close. They got to get some breaks. And last night they beat a very good TCU team. In Morgantown, that's just what you're dealing with on a night-by-night basis in this conference. Even an 0-5 team can up and beat the one of the top teams in the conference. I mean, TCU had just beaten K-State.
Oh, yeah.
K-State just beat Kansas. And now West Virginia picks up their first conference win in Morgantown. We know that'll be a tough game.
Yeah, these on-the-road trips are tough, yeah, period. Man. The home games are tough, but the road trips are tougher. So you still can't go there and mess around. You got to beat that West Virginia team. They're good, but they're not that good. TCU's been on quite a roll, though.
Well, they've lost 3 of 4 now. Texas started that. Then it felt like they were, you know, because they had lost to Iowa State.
Yeah, didn't they go through this little gauntlet of Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Texas, and now?
Well, yeah, they were a one-loss team, and they were undefeated in the conference. Then Texas beat them. Remember, it came back from 18 down to beat them. Then Iowa State beat them. Or actually, Iowa State beat them ahead of the Texas comeback win. And then they turned around, beat Kansas State. Over the weekend, and now they turn around and lose at Morgantown. So, you know, it's a crapshoot any night in the Big 12. You know, it's amazing. Texas Tech is sitting at 0-6. I mean, you just saw Texas play Texas Tech. They're a good team. I mean, they got bigs. They got guards. They got Jalen Tyson, the former Longhorn, and yet they're 0-6, and they're going to Kansas State Saturday.
Yeah.
They very well could be 0-7 for Mark Adams. So,
and a team like Baylor who's starting to wake up now.
Yeah, they're 3-3 now. Yeah, it is heavyweight. I know it's been said they likely won't get 10 teams in the tournament, but eight or nine are going to make the big dance. So, I mean, that's really what you're dealing with night by night is you're playing an NCAA tournament team every night, whether you're at home or on the road, and that's just not the case in every conference. I mean, you get nights where you're going to play a mutt, and you're going to have a chance to
get Boston College in there.
Yeah, you're going to be able to catch your breath a little bit. That is not obviously the case with a 10-team Big 12 conference. So, and by the way, next year the Big 12 is adding Houston.
Yeah, how about that?
Along with Cincinnati, who's a pretty good basketball program, BYU.
Yeah, they're pretty set for when the Longhorns leave, yeah. When Oklahoma leave.
Houston sitting atop the poll right now with Kelvin Sampson. But if I would say this, if Kelvin Sampson's team, I know we got a lot of Houston Cougar fans who listen, if they were in the Big 12, they wouldn't be number one in the country. They'd be taking losses on the road. They have the good fortune of they played a pretty decent non-conference schedule. Now they're playing in their conference, and they're far better than everybody in their conference. But they're on par with these teams we see in the Big 12, the Kansas States, the Baylors.
Yeah, Texas. They would have some struggles.
Yeah, I would just you do when you go on the road in this conference. You're going to take some losses. You're going to have some bad nights.
And, you know, again, we've talked about the Big 12. The last two national champions have come out of this conference. Remember, they didn't have the March Madness tournament in the COVID year. The year before, Texas Tech with Chris Beard was there on the final game. So in the last three Final Fours, the Big 12 has won two of them and had a couple buckets away from a third. And, you know, this steel sharpens steel. This you come out of this conference and get in the tournament, you're ready for anybody at that point. That's at least the positive way to look at the gauntlet you got to deal with if you can stay healthy and, you know, come out clean.
And everybody
on the other
has
side.
Bench players in this conference. Everybody has guys that come off the bench, two or three guys that really are making a difference. Not many of them are playing with seven guys, you know what I mean? They've got players.
Yeah, well, and great coaching. I mean, that's the programs. There's only 10 of them. That's part of this, right? Yeah, SEC has 14 teams, Big 12. So you just have Big 10. So you have more teams, and so more. But the Big 12's 10 teams invest in basketball.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, at Iowa State, Kansas State, you know, basketball is a big deal. Texas Tech has made basketball an important investment that they make, and Baylor obviously with Scott Drew. There's just, you know, no one's taking it lightly. I mean, right now the worst team in the conference is Oklahoma. They got beat again last night by Oklahoma State, yet they're 11-7 overall, and they would fare pretty well in some other conferences,
sure.
Just not this one. That's where we sit with basketball. We got football. We got divisional playoffs coming. We got buck-ons and buck-offs. Here's one from our man CB. I don't know how he gets a text into us at 6:03 in the morning. He lives in Seattle, Washington, so he's up 4 a.m. out there. Hello, CB. He says, buck-off to Sonny Dykes for hiring Kendall Briles. Disgraceful. That is now official. TCU has hired Kendall Briles away from Arkansas to be the offensive coordinator to replace Garrett Riley, who moved on to Clemson to coach the offense for Dabo Swinney. You know, obviously in the wake of the Baylor situation and Art Briles, the Kendall Briles name still comes with that stain for a lot of people. What do you say about Sonny Dykes?
I just don't know how long do you...
Is that forever?
Forever and ever with Kendall Briles?
Yeah, I mean, look, Kendall Briles has worked. I mean, Major Applewhite hired him down to Houston right out of the scandal. And then, you know, the ugly, ugly scandal, which we know went on at Baylor. But, you know, you said it. At what point do we move on? Some will say never. Some will say as long as if you were part of that and you overlooked and helped cover up, you know, gang rapes and things of that nature. Now, Kendall Briles says he didn't, but others say he did. In that case, and the coaches on that staff or what was going on in Waco for a few years, that's always going to be a problem for people. But Sonny Dykes.
Yeah, Kendall Briles has gone on to work.
Multiple places.
Yes. I mean,
multiple places.
Yeah, he hadn't stopped working.
Yeah, he was at Arkansas doing a good job with the Razorbacks, no doubt. And he's now at TCU. But CB and others are going to buck it off and say you should never go there.
Sure.
And hire a Briles or hire anybody who was on that staff. Heck, there's still people that were mad at Texas and Tom Herman for hiring just a staffer who had been in that program at one point. So that's where that stands. But TCU did add Kendall Briles. We'll take your thoughts on that. It's how it works. It's a buck off Thursday. Get it off your chest. Who has earned a pat on the back? Who has earned a kick in the hindquarters? And I think it's fair to give a big buck on to Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott
for
their
sure.
performance on Monday night, because a lot of pressure there. You know, the debate going into the game was, you know, could Mike McCarthy's job be in jeopardy if they lose it? What about Dak Prescott coming off the miserable performance against Washington in the final game of the regular season? They both played great. I mean, they coached great, played great, and the Cowboys are feeling pretty good as they head to San Francisco.
Yeah, that looked like a real buttoned-up team last week. So, I mean, what can you say? The head coach is the head coach. He had a lot to do with what they looked like on that game on Monday night, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, if you criticize the coach when they're not good, you got to give credit to the coach when they look great.
Well, I thought they did a great job. I think they've done a fantastic job with penalties this year too. I think they've, you just don't see those glaring weird penalties every Sunday when they play. You're like, oh man, they had three illegal procedures. That kind of stuff that madness has kind of gone away with the Cowboys, which is really important.
Yeah, they've cleaned up the penalties. They were the most penalized team in the league a year ago. Their playoff loss.
They
to
did
the
it
Niners.
For 2 years.
Their playoff loss to the Niners last year, I think there were 13 penalties in that game, a lot of them pre-snap stuff. And, you know, it was just a sloppy group last year, and the Niners took advantage of it in Arlington. This one will be at San Francisco.
Sorry, I'm not there, though, yet. Sorry about that, Ty. You haven't done very much to get me there. It's now Thursday. I'm not buying.
Well, Ty gets a buck off our producer already because he told me his girlfriend was about to kill him this morning because it took six alarms to get him out of bed. And she's like, are you going to get up at some point here? What are we doing?
It was a little bit more explicitive than that.
She was a little more expressive?
Yeah, yeah.
Will you get the hell up?
And I was like, yeah, you're right.
Using that foot wedge to get you moving over and get out of here?
Well, I hit snooze for about 35 minutes this morning. Sometimes an alarm about every 5 minutes.
I have never. I'm not. I can't do that. If I hit that, I'm a goner. If I get to the point where I'm up, and then I hit, give me 10 more minutes. I'm not in 10 minutes. That thing's not going to get me up.
Those last few minutes are so sweet.
They are.
Are they precious, really?
Yes.
Even on the 6th, my wife does that too. She does a lot of snoozes. I've said this. I do 4:01, and I do the 9 minutes, and then at 4:10 it goes off again, and I get up. Now, there are some nights when you stay up late and watch a late game that maybe I'll go one more. Maybe I'll go to 4:19. But that's few and far between. You know what I'm saying? You got to get up. Got to get your feet on the ground. Got to get rolling. And I told him, because we've been doing this morning show thing for quite a while, sometimes if you're having a hard time, put one alarm in the bathroom where you have to get up and go turn it off. Then you're up.
Or you got to make a move and get out of the bed.
You got to get up and go get it. You put one by your bed to start the process, but if you're going to do that, just put one in the
Ty, you won't even hear that, will you? You won't even hear that in the bathroom. You sleep through that one.
No, I do a similar.
Your girlfriend will.
No, I usually, if I'm trying to do that, I just plug my phone in on the other side of the room. So at least, because if I stand up, there's like a 75% chance I'm good.
75?
You're not going back down?
No.
You won't go back down?
But
okay.
the issue with this is it's not even next to my bed right now. It's on my bed. So I wake up and it's like already on me somehow. So it's really a 2 second snooze situation.
I'm a 3:30 and just before that thing goes off, I take a peek over and it says you got about 20 minutes. And then from that point on, it's like you said, it is that kind of good sleep, that 20 minutes. But if that alarm goes off, I get it on like the first ring. I just turn, sit, and go.
Now, I was told this, that the 9 minutes, you know, when you normally just hit snooze, it's 9 minutes on most every clock. And I've always asked, why is that? And I finally read that apparently you cannot fall into the deep REM sleep within 9 minutes, according to the sleep experts. So that's why they cut it off at 9.
Yeah, you don't get any less tired.
No.
From those
precious minutes. I mean, the REM sleep, the quality REM sleep overnight, the REM sleep is what you're looking for, the rapid eye movement, where you're deep in sleep and your body is resting and you're dreaming really good, but within 9 minutes apparently you can't get there.
Yeah, it's almost like for me, like coffee. Everybody will say, yeah, that caffeine will really get you up and get you going. It's just a habit for me. I can drink like 2 cups of coffee, and then if I have to go to sleep, I'm going to sleep. I mean, coffee will not keep me from going to bed.
I'm not diagnosing you, but that would indicate you have ADD, ADHD.
Well, I got a lot of those things. I mean, for sure.
I mean, you weren't diagnosed with that stuff when you were a kid, and I wasn't either. But you know, like if caffeine calms you down, that would be an indicator. Our oldest, Griff, that's him. If he had, like, he would drink a soda and he would calm down, he would chill out.
Really?
Yeah. Our others, though, they would have a soda, they'd be bouncing off the walls, right? They'd be going crazy.
Yeah,
he would level out.
I just go to sleep. If I get a large coffee and it's time for bed, I'm going to bed. I can drink that coffee, but I'm going to bed. That's just me. It doesn't do. And in the mornings when I drink 3-4 cups of coffee here, it doesn't make me awake. It's just a habit. It's like a routine.
But I would argue that if you don't have it, you may have a bit of a headache, which would indicate that
I've done that before. Now I've done that. That has happened to me but it doesn't happen to me all the time.
Right. You don't feel it, but if you didn't have it, I think you might feel it. You might feel a little more groggy, and you might get a little bit of a headache because that caffeine is hitting your body, and you'll be cranky.
You'll be cranky as hell,
angry
yeah.
and grumpy and all that stuff. All right, so there you go. Let's get this thing rolling. To T.Y.'s point, we were going to talk some Cowboys football of your confidence level. Ty is very confident. You're not. You'd like to be. We'll let you know what Vegas thinks. The odds favorites, there are 8 teams remaining who are the odds favorites to win the Super Bowl, not just win this weekend. We'll have some fun with that coming up. Also, the days of our quarterback lives. There's stories out there on Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Trey Lance, the backup quarterback of the 49ers. He's in the news. We'll get you details on all that. Craig Way has his report coming up, and we need your buck-ons and buck-offs. Bring them strong this morning. Hit us on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Who has earned that buck-on? Who has earned that buck-off? You decide here on the Show of the People every Thursday. We're rolling back.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Appreciate the contributions on the Always Active Specs text line. This says, Cowboys, the line is going to eat a Purdy little Super Bowl Saturday or Sunday night. Eat a Purdy time. Purdy little supper. Is that what it says? Purdy little supper?
Purdy little supper.
Mm. And buck off to TCU for hiring Kendall Briles again. This says, I give myself three snoozes before I actually have to leave bed at 4 a.m. This fella says, buck off to planning to snooze. It's better for you to allow more REM sleep. Don't snooze. Just get up.
So that's true.
If you're planning to get up at 4, just get up at 4.
Yeah.
The snooze thing.
Yeah.
I swear, at my house, my wife, and she'll snooze from like 5 until 7. It's like, hey, just get up.
Just get up and go, huh?
Well, she plans to get up, and then she does. That's just the way that goes. But all right, so we got a lot going on. We're talking divisional playoffs in the NFL. Getting you ready. Obviously, the Cowboys and Niners with the Purdy little meal is coming up, the final game. Amazing. We said yesterday, you know, the AFC teams, the four teams, are on a combined 28-game win streak, which is just, I mean, I don't know if that's ever happened. I haven't seen another stat like it, but 28 in a row. Everybody's on a heater. Everyone's coming in, haven't lost in a while, and feeling good about themselves. Even Jacksonville has won 6 in a row and 7 of their last 8 to get here. Chiefs have won 6 straight. Obviously, the longest streak belongs to the Bengals at 9, and the Bills are at 7 in a row, 7 or 8 in a row. And obviously, the Bills and Bengals didn't get to finish their Monday night game, which kept their streaks intact, both of them. NFC a little different. The team on the streak are the Niners. They've won 11 straight. And remember, the Niners at one point were 3-4. They've won 11 in a row since the 3-4 start. There was a lot of injuries, and they acquired Christian McCaffrey. And here we go. They've won 11 straight. The other three teams out of the NFC East are 2-2 in their last 4 games. So no, and that's why I've said this week, Buck, the Eagles to me are the most uncertain because you just don't know. When we saw the Eagles at their best, it was that game on like December the 12th where they beat the Giants 47-22 in New Jersey.
Yeah, no contest. Yes,
they beat the daylights out of them. It was like watching, you know, Georgia play Vanderbilt or something. It was a beatdown. And at that, and that
you
game,
can say TCU, it's okay.
Sorry, well, TCU. Well, that was a championship game. This is a regular season game. I'm just saying, watching this a regular season SEC game or something, where he was outclassed. I mean, that was Philadelphia. That was their best performance, I thought, of the year against a quality team, and they did it so impressively on the road. And you're thinking, oh, geez. I mean, because they ran the ball for 250 yards.
Right.
Jalen Hurts was throwing the ball. They were just torching the Giants. And on that day, the Eagles looked unstoppable, and the Giants looked nowhere close to a playoff team. And, you know, since then, there have been 4 games or 5 for the Giants now. And in those games, we know the Eagles, they never looked that good again, right?
Yeah, the Giants have been proved.
Yeah, the Eagles never looked that good again. The next week, they beat the Bears, but they kind of struggled to do it. And in that game, Jalen Hurts got hurt. That was the game.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, and it's the Giants, I don't know. Yeah, I guess they improve. They just do enough to win a game, to me. It just feels like when the Giants play, their coach does enough. And it's more on the coach. His coaching has really, really been good. And he's finding ways just to win games. They don't overwhelm. They don't do anything to me like they got this great defense. Now, they've got a fantastic defensive line inside, I believe. I don't see anything great about the secondaries or the wide receivers. I think the coach just can coach.
Well, I think I know this. We all know this. Coaching is magnified in these games. Coaching matters. Being well prepared, have a great game plan, execution. It is huge. And that's what I like about the Giants and what they did last week. And that's why I came in talking about how the Giants looked well coached and buttoned up. And the Vikings, that game was as much about the Vikings as it was about the Giants. Vikings looked like a mess. You know, a play I saw yesterday on replay. Remember when in that game on a 3rd-and-1. The Vikings tried this throwback pass to Kirk Cousins.
Oh, my God. He got blown up.
And they didn't even have a blocker out there for him.
It was just Kirk Cousins and 2 defenders.
And it was 3rd-and-1. And the Giants are the 28th-rated rush defense in the league.
Well, that's a young offensive coach trying to be cute.
Like, what are you doing? You're doing a throwback to your quarterback, and there's no blocker there. There was no intention of the play. It was like, what is that? And I think that was an indication of the Vikings in that game. Their defense was terrible on first down. They were just bad in that game. And it's not to take anything away from the Giants. You got to take advantage of those. It's kind of the same with the Cowboys to me because the Bucs were lame. But, you know, you're through the lame. You're not going to face a lame team.
Yeah, man. I'm just trying to figure out, will the Giants then try to – I mean, will they – you know, they had all these set runs. I knew they'd have set runs for the quarterback against Minnesota. Minnesota's defense is just that bad. Will they try that stuff with their quarterback? It's not going to have set run plays for this quarterback this week against Philly. You think so?
He's the leading rusher and quarterback in the league now. I think he's actually, if you combine his playoff yards, gone past Lamar Jackson.
Justin Fields.
Oh, Justin Fields. That's right. Justin Fields set the record. But
yeah, you get him mauled against Philadelphia.
He was just like 30 yards short of the record.
Well, you have two of the top guys here in Jalen Hurts and
– Yeah, both of those guys.
Jalen Hurts
right.
has 800 rushing yards this year. Daniel Jones will take off and run. But I think it's a problem for the Giants that the Eagles are in their own division and they know them so well. Because this will come down to coaching
Game
and this will
three.
Come down to better players. And I think the Eagles, have a better roster, and I think they're very well coached. And that becomes the challenge for the Cowboys is, you know, both teams are really talented. Both teams are well coached. That's why 2 days advantage, 48 hours can be a difference when you get to Sunday afternoon, the Sunday, Saturday to Monday thing we talked about. Same time, you know, there's no riffraff
here. Slightly better team, I think, with San Francisco.
Yeah, just right now. And well coached. I'll give you a quote that will indicate that coming up in a minute. But that's why I'm just not sure what to expect from the Eagles. I think I know what I'm going to get from the Giants. I know what I'm, but the Eagles haven't looked like that 13-1 team we saw on December the 12th since then, because Jalen Hurts got hurt. Then they lost a couple of games. The Cowboys beat them with Gardner Minshew at quarterback, and then the Saints beat them. And then they won the Week 18 game against the Giants, but the Giants rested all their starters in that game. So, and then they took the week off. So, I mean, obviously the Eagles could come out and just look amazing, right? Fly, Eagles,
they're
fly.
Well, yeah, they're well rested now.
And or they could have just maybe that was their peak. Maybe that game December 12th was that's as good as sure. They're going to get, and you don't want to peak too soon in any sport in any time, any competitive endeavor. You want to peak at the right time. Maybe they hit their peak, and then the injury to Jalen Hurts derails it a little bit, and can you get that mojo back? Because
yeah, well, if he's healthy and the arm is good, then I think they'll just go on and do what they do. But if there's an indication that arm is like it looked when he came back, you know, to win that final game, that's a problem.
Yeah. Because it just looked like they were trying to get a win, assure the victory.
Sure, get it a week off.
I think Jalen Hurts would tell you he was probably about 75% in that game.
I would agree about that, yes.
And he was being very careful. Anytime he would break the pocket, he would slide. He wasn't going to take a hit and risk further injury. And, you know, they just needed to get a victory. And they got it to lock up home field the week off and all of that. And the top seed. This says Giants barely beat the Vikings, the team the Eagles blew the doors off. That's kind of my feel for the Giants, Buck, is the Giants were a mess. The Vikings were a mess, and I thought poorly prepared, and they still only won by 7. And the Vikings had the ball with a chance to go down and tie the game. I know they were at home. I would be concerned for the Giants this weekend. I really would. I think if the Eagles come out and are anything close to that mid-December team, this won't be that close. It'll be pretty one-sided. Where I think the Cowboys-Niners game, I'm going to pick the Niners to win it, but I think it's going to be a close football game. I think it's going to be a tremendous football game because I think Dak has got a lot of confidence right now. I do think Dan Quinn can do some things to put Brock Purdy in some tough spots. And, you know, I think some of the Cowboys fans, including Ty, overstated that in this 11-game win streak, the 49ers have played a lot of bad teams in that stretch. And that's true. So I think the Cowboys will be on par with them player for player. I just think in the end, the home field, Kyle Shanahan, I'm going to pick the Niners in a close one.
Yeah, I feel about the way I feel with Jacksonville beating Kansas City with the Cowboys and the Niners.
No.
Yeah, I do.
Where did all this confidence is all
disappeared.
Gone?
It did. It did. It disappeared. They got their one win. They got their Tampa Bay win. They beat Tom Brady.
All I'm going to say on the Cowboys side of it, to where I'll agree with Bucky, is that I think Monday night was as much about the Buccaneers as it was about the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys took advantage of a team that was ready for their season to be over. They were god-awful in that football game. And didn't even put up much fight, it didn't feel like. And that's, again, as we talked about this week, if you get in a crucial third down play against Dak Prescott, what are you doing? You're shadowing Dalton Schultz. You're going to find the tight end. How many times did the Bucs have him wide open?
God.
That's poor scouting. That's poor execution. How do you let Dalton Schultz get open over and over again? I'm not saying the Cowboys shouldn't take advantage of it. I'm saying a good team knows that. And you try
should have known it over the last 2 years.
You got to force Dak Prescott somewhere else. And over again, one of the reasons Dak got so comfortable is he dropped back and his first read was wide open. There was no post-snap confusion. There was nothing to try to disguise coverages from Todd Bowles. They were lame. So again, go win your game, 31-14, dominant performance. That will not be the case against DeMeco Ryans and the 49ers defense. And we know Kyle Shanahan will be bringing on offense. And that's where I think you're a little bit, that maybe the Niners just have a little bit too much for the Cowboys right
now.
Yeah,
I just think the talent level is just a little bit better right now.
A little bit. They're at home, and they had 2 extra days, and they're fresh. Christian McCaffrey's not on the injury report for the first time all year. Debo Samuel's all the way back from that ankle.
I think Dak has taken a giant step forward, but what 49ers are doing with Purdy, I don't think that you see it's time for Purdy to have a letdown.
Bring it on.
I don't think there's a Purdy letdown.
No Purdy letdown?
Uh-uh.
Well, here's the quote I was going to mention that, you know, your favorite guy, used to call him the hobo, Anthony Lynn.
Oh, that's right. The hobo's calling plays, isn't he?
I'll tell you what he is.
Is he the offensive coordinator?
Think about this. Anthony Lynn went to Texas Tech. He was a Red Raider back in the day. And he was the head coach of the L.A. Chargers for several seasons. We all remember him right there, right? Well, he is the running backs coach for the 49ers. That's how deep their coaching staff is. He is a former head coach in the NFL. He's the running backs coach for
Was he not a coordinator at – where was he?
Detroit.
Wow.
He's the running backs coach. So he's a position coach, former head coach in this league.
I saw him at the combine one time, and I said to E, I'm like, did that guy just walk in this building? Who is that dude? Looks like a hobo over there.
That's the coach. I go, that's the coach of the Chargers.
That's the coach of the Chargers.
What was he wearing?
He just had like a hoodie on. It was cold out.
It was cold out.
It was really cold in Indianapolis at the combine.
He didn't have a suit on or anything. I mean, I wasn't expecting it, but.
he had a hoodie.
And he had the gray beard. He had the old gray beard. I mean, it was scruffy.
All he's missing is the bottle of Boone's Farm and go give him a dollar.
I'm like, dude. I said, he said, that's the head coach.
I go, that's the coach of the Chargers.
I'm like, what? It's Anthony Lynn. I'm like,
wow. A Red Raider, get your guns up.
Yo, coach, what's up? Hobo?
Well, to me, this is how talented the Niners are, how deep they are. They have a former head coach who is their running backs coach. DeMeco Ryans is tremendous on the defensive side. Kyle Shanahan. This says, so he was talking to Sam Farmer of the LA Times. And, of course, Sam covered him when he was the coach of the Chargers. And so talking to Anthony Lynn, and he was asked about the difference about coaching for the Niners organization and the Chargers. And he said, this organization will do whatever it takes to win. Resources out the ears. That was the difference for me compared to what I was going through in L.A. So it's just like, man, this is what it's supposed to be like. I forgot how that felt. And Dean Spanos, the owner of the Chargers, notoriously cheap.
Yes.
Penny pinching. And again, that's what we love about the NFL. I mean, great organizations typically are going to rise up and win over teams with bad ownership, cheap ownership, meddling ownership. That's why the good teams continue to win and, you know, bad teams stay bad a lot of times. And the 49ers went through a lull of coaches, but they've found Kyle Shanahan, and their ownership is investing in whatever they need money-wise, and I think it shows up on the football field. But that's just Anthony Lynn's perspective, that, man, what a difference. I mean, because the Chargers are really talented. Chargers had a lot of good players, right? But why do they melt down? Why do they fall apart? Well, maybe that's a big part of it, that they don't invest nearly as much as other organizations do in everything, the details. The important things that separate winning from losing, because everybody's pretty talented in the National Football League.
And yeah, I think the Cowboys have to have everybody healthy. They have to be good on the offense, and their offensive line has to be good this week.
Real good.
I mean, the success that Dak had last week.
Well, and this was the big part of the difference in last year's game when they lost to the 49ers in Arlington.
They physically overwhelmed them.
Yeah. I mean, Armstead, Boza, those dudes up front, that's a problem. I mean, I heard Rod Babers say this yesterday because Rod does a great job researching these teams. I did not know this. The 49ers lead the NFL with 20 interceptions. None of them have come with having to rush more than four people. So this is what they do to you. They get pass rush with four guys and a good one at that, and then they can play seven in coverage, disguise those coverages with DeMeco Ryans. That's why they lead the league in picks, because your quarterback thinks one thing and it's another. They don't have to blitz, because there's so many quarterbacks love to see the blitz because they can throw right where the blitz came from, or they know they have man coverage somewhere and they can find that. If this team doesn't have to blitz, they become a problem. Now, the Cowboys can do a lot of that to you too when Micah Parsons is cranking it up and he's moving all over the field, and DeMarcus Lawrence. And that's why this game is so good. This says, guys, Dallas has no chance in this game. This text says 49ers are beatable. I think I agree with the 49ers are beatable more than the Cowboys have no chance. But if you're forcing me on a Thursday to make a pick, I'm going to pick the Niners.
Yeah, I would think the Cowboys will still consider trying to get to the perimeter against this group, but they will be coming from the linebacker and secondary area, unlike Tampa Bay, who just got outside. I don't care how they got out. Dalton Schultz, if he's grabbing their legs, I don't care how they got outside. Against that Tampa defense with two good linebackers, they got outside. They have to try. They're not going through the middle.
Niners, Buccaneers for me watching that game, and that's why I came in Tuesday disappointed, that I just want, as a fan, you just want a good game. And it's never felt like the Bucs were going to make it a good game. The only thing that was compelling about the game was the kicker missing all the kicks. And like, what is this eventually going to come back to haunt you? But it never did.
I mean, no.
It never did, because the Bucs never put up much of a fight at all.
I don't know. I enjoyed watching that game.
I know you did. I was looking for a hell of a game that was going to go. I mean, it looked a lot more like the TCU-Georgia game than a playoff football game that I anticipated, because the Bucs were so bad. But, you know, you got to go win the games.
I was happy for Dak Prescott. I was happy for the way they set him up. I thought the offensive coordinator did a fantastic job. I think they had plays that were set up against a team that just refused to get out of two-deep coverage. And knowing that Dalton Schultz likes the middle of the field, here's some soft two-deep. here you go, take the middle of the field. And the Cowboys executed it. I mean, you gave it to them, so they didn't say, okay, well, let's not do it. Let's do it every time. If they don't change it, we'll continue to do it. Well, you got Tony Pollard involved. I mean, they
did a lot that you like.
Yes, and that's why, they did a ton.
That's why I disagree with the texter who says the Cowboys have no chance. I don't agree with that. Cowboys absolutely have a chance in this game. I don't think the Giants have a great chance. I don't think the Jaguars have a very great chance in their playoff game, but I think the Cowboys and the Bengals absolutely have a chance.
I don't believe the strength of schedule is going to matter. This is just a game against a team that,
60 minutes of football.
That you've known for years and years and years, and you know what they're going to bring, and they know what you're going to bring.
Yeah,
and will you be physical enough to match their physicality in the Bay Area? I don't know what weather is going to be like there. I mean, it's been crappy lately.
And a lot of you are pointing out the obvious that Brock Purdy is a rookie. But listen, have you watched him since he's taken over 6 weeks ago? The Cowboys lost to this team last year with Jimmy Garoppolo. This offense is better with Brock Purdy running it than Jimmy Garoppolo. That's been a fact. And all you got to do is watch the games. That you can say what you want about it, he's a rookie, but he executes this offense at a really, really high level. And he's brought George Kittle back into the offense. The tight end is a big factor. Maybe Deebo Samuel being out for a while helped that they have built a great chemistry. Brock Purdy is actually running this offense at a higher level and more efficiently than what Jimmy Garoppolo was. That'll lead us into some quarterback conversations, because the other quarterback in 49er land is Trey Lance. There's an interesting story on him developing. We'll also get to a story that's out there on Lamar Jackson and his future in Baltimore. The days of our quarterback lives will continue. We'll take your thoughts. Who do you like? Where are the upsets? What are the locks coming up on divisional weekend? What are your buck-ons and buck-offs? Here's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Busy Thursday coming up. We'll reset those headlines, including the Longhorns. We now know when the spring game will be, the orange-white scrimmage. Chris Del Conte revealed that last night on Twitter. Also, a big name into the transfer portal, and there have been ties to Texas. We'll get you details. Wide receiver off the national champion Georgia team. Details on that coming up. Talking plenty of NFL football. Divisional playoffs are Saturday and Sunday. A lot of Cowboys talk. This is Brock Purdy is fixing to get his purdy little ass whipped. Somebody said one hard sack.
I'll say this. Well, if there's a time, this is the one.
Yeah, this would be the opportunity. Look, the Niners are favored over the Cowboys by more than a field goal, and they're on their third quarterback. That tells you how talented they are. Now, they've gotten lucky and found some good fortune in how good Brock Purdy has been. But we'll see. Cowboys
they've
have
got
the
talented players, too. All over the place.
And coaches. That's coaches.
Yes. I
enjoyed hearing Rod Babers yesterday talk about his guy, Kyle Shanahan, his good friend, and just how detail-oriented that coaching staff is, how they maximize and weaponize their players. DeMeco Ryans, who is one of my favorite Houston Texans all time, as a Texans fan, I loved watching DeMeco Ryans play middle linebacker for that team for so long.
I feel like that's his last season here. There.
Yeah, he's just such a detail-oriented, smart, high IQ football player. Now he's taking that to the coaching ranks, and his defense plays like that. They're very talented, but they're also very smart in how they attack. And it's really a fun matchup. It really is. Of all the games this weekend,
I think it is.
This and obviously the Buffalo-Cincinnati game, because of the DeMar Hamlin conversation and what we didn't get to see on that Monday night, and they're going to play again. The other two seem like...
Yeah, I just don't feel like Cincinnati can go to Buffalo with that offensive line being banged in a week.
Yeah, if Von Miller were playing, you'd feel really great at Buffalo. But the only thing... I shouldn't say their only chance, but their biggest issue right now is Josh Allen and all the turnovers. I mean, he just can't... I mean, the Dolphins with a third-string quarterback and Skylar Howard is not very good, had a chance to win that game because Josh Allen kept turning the ball over. He's too casual with the ball sometimes. I don't know if that's, Brian Daboll was his offensive coordinator last year. Now he's with the Giants. Have they lost some of their attention to detail there? And maybe he's playing a little loose with the football, taking chances he shouldn't take. You can't turn the football over in the playoffs. We know that. And Josh Allen's doing it way, way too much. That you're right. I think it's a significant problem for the Bengals to have three of their five offensive linemen injured. But the neutralizer could be turnovers. Because if you force Josh Allen to give you the ball a few times, now all of a sudden you can overcome that. If you're Joe Burrow in Cincinnati.
Yeah, his big play ability and wanting to have the big play all the time. I mean, he needs to be thinking more of winning the game now.
Yeah, manage the game.
Yeah.
He's always looking for the home run, it appears. And give the Dolphins credit. They're the division rival. They know him. And they really played a lot of zero coverage. They were daring him to throw it deep.
Oh, yeah.
Trusting, because they figured that was their only chance. And it dang near worked for him. Mike McDaniel did a good job. Speaking of the Miami Dolphins, before we get to the top of the hour, the days of our quarterback lives and this offseason drama is just getting underway. Where's Tom Brady going to play? What about Aaron Rodgers? Another name to add to this is going to be Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. And I saw this story that The signs, this is from Pro Football Talk, says the signs are currently pointing to the Ravens applying the non-exclusive franchise tag to Lamar Jackson if they can't sign into a long-term contract in February. That would allow other teams to negotiate with Jackson and sign him to an offer sheet. And then if the Ravens don't match that offer sheet, they would get two first-round draft picks from the new team. Now, keep this in mind. The Miami Dolphins are a team that have been linked to Lamar because he's from Miami. And they're not maybe going to wanting to invest long-term in the injury-prone Tua. And here's the problem for the Miami Dolphins right now. They don't have a number one draft pick this year because of the tampering issue with Sean Payton and Tom Brady last year. The NFL snatched their first-round pick this year. That's how severe the punishment was for that tampering and how serious the league took it. So they don't have a first. But as Florio at Pro Football Talk talks about, they could wait till after the draft in April, then sign Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet. And then if the Ravens fail to match it, they would give up first-round draft picks in 2024 and 25
right.
to get that done. So, interesting. Lamar Jackson back home to play in that offense. That'd be the fastest offense ever.
My goodness.
From the quarterbacks to the receivers to the running back. I mean, they'd be a track team in Miami. That would be compelling. And then your guy Brady could end up in Vegas playing for the Raiders and Josh McDaniel. Where's your guy Aaron Rodgers going?
Yeah, I don't know about and Derek Carr. Where are they going to end up? Where's Derek Carr going to end up?
How about the Commanders?
Boy, you're talking about a group that just keep on searching. Just keep on trying to find one.
Saints?
Maybe the
interesting
Saints.
Name.
Yeah, that's real interesting.
Kind of feels like the Colts want to go up in the draft and try to get either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. They're sitting at number four in the draft
right
now.
They sound
like
they're going to take either one.
Yeah, they're tired of taking a veteran. They want to go get a young quarterback.
Right.
They've been doing that cycle for a while in Indy. All right, we'll take your thoughts on that. Oh, also good news. Aaron Donald said it was just a joke when he changed his Twitter profile to former defensive end. He's not retiring. He'll be back playing for the Rams for Sean McVay.